Look at Psalm 78 quickly. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. We're looking at the name of Jesus, and we are trying to investigate what that means to us as believers. Look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 1. Psalm 78, verse 1. Yes, the book of Psalm 78, verse 1. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." He now says, "I will open my mouth in what? In a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old." Yeah, so I will utter dark sayings of old. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old. Now, in our previous teachings, before the name of Jesus series, we tried to examine why the use of parables in scriptures. And fundamentally, we're able to establish that Moses started the use of parables in scriptures, and it was because of the people who had no faith. Are we together? Stiff-necked people. Are we together? Right, so you know, in the book of Psalms, we see it says, "I will utter dark sayings of old." That word there, old, is just like the word beginning, right? So it means that from the beginning, which you call Genesis, you will see parables fundamentally in scriptures. Are we here? You will see parables fundamentally in scripture. What are parables? Parables are stories, so to say, that are used to communicate other stories. Is that true? Yeah, so can we say you can be speaking about a chair and not be talking about a chair? Are we together? You see that highly used in the writings of Moses, right? You see Moses talks about gardening, but he's not speaking about gardening. Are we together? You see him talk about snake, but he's not speaking about snake. Are we together? You see him talking about what again? Come again? Day? Tree, right? Tree. You see him talking about tree, but he's not talking about physical trees. You see him talking about wind, but he's not talking about wind. Are we together? You see him talking about earth. You see him talking about seed. But it's not talking about seed, right? Those are parables from the beginning. So it means, it says, "I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old." Glory to God. So it means that when we go back to Genesis 1 to read Moses, that is the beginning, which is of old, we will see parables. Are we together? So go to Genesis 1. Let me show you something quickly in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I'll open my mouth, right, and utter dark sayings of old, right? Beautiful, right? So Genesis 1, beautiful. Now remember, that is where Matthew quoted from. Is that true? Yeah, so you see Matthew talks about in Matthew 13, 35. Beautiful, right? So look at Genesis 1, 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." It says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." Now, for there to be a description of the earth, it means that the earth exists before the description. Please listen to what I'm about to say. Are we here? Are we here? The earth was without form and void. That means before you can qualify the earth as being without form and void, it means there was the earth. Did you get that? Did you get that? Right? So before you qualify what the earth looks like, it means there was the earth. So it means that the earth will exist before you can say without form and void. Are we together? So the earth will exist before we describe. Are we together? So the description of without form and void is a description of what of the earth that already exists. Are you here? Did you get that, right? So it says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." It now says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the what? Waters." Now on Sunday, we started looking at, or we looked briefly, what we call heaven and earth, which we've paid attention to in the salvation series. Are we together? And we said heaven and earth is in the same location, so to say, right? Just distinguished by various characteristics. Are we here? Are we here? Beautiful. So we said the earth usually will speak of the physical. Are we together? And the heaven will speak of the non-physical or the spiritual or the supernatural and the natural. And we explained or started explaining on Sunday how the word earth is used for people. Are we together? So sometimes the word earth is used for people. Look at how Jeremiah reads that word or reads Genesis. Look at the word Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah. Turn your Bibles quickly to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, Jeremiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah is just before Ezekiel. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 19. Or let's see verse 23. Praise Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at Jeremiah chapter 4. Are you there? If you are there, say, I'm there. If you are not there, say, hold me. Oh, beautiful. So we are all there. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23. Let's read that together. 1, 2, 3, go. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. Is that from Genesis? So we need to qualify who Jeremiah uses this earth for. Go back to verse 19. He says, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Hold on. Where will war be found? War will be found amongst war? Men, people, right? Are we together? So look at verse 20. Destruction upon destruction is cried. For the whole land is spoiled. Hold on. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in the moment. And it says, how long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? Look at verse 2. In 22, it now says, for my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth. Can you see? You know, I beheld the earth. We speak about the people. Did you see that? So it now says, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. Now, we explain the word without form and void to be what? The Hebrew word, tohu bohu. I want to remember that. Tohu bohu. T-O-H-U-B-O-H-U. Tohu bohu. Tohu bohu. Tohu bohu. So go back to Genesis 1. So we've seen Jeremiah reference Genesis 1. So the earth first created, then you can describe the earth without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now look at Genesis 1 again. Let's read verse 1 to 3 quickly. Just follow as I read. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was what? Light. So the first personality you see there is God. Are we there? You see God. Now the second obvious personality you see there is the Spirit out together, but there are other personalities that we need to pay attention to. So we have God, we have the Spirit, and we are seeing something that looks like other things that are not personalities or that are not people. You see that? So first you have heaven out together. On a layman's language, you don't see that as people. Is that not true? Yeah, heaven, you have heaven, you have earth, you have form, you have darkness rather, are we together? You have face, are we together? Face of the waters, and let there be light. So now, we establish that God is seen there, the Spirit is seen there, we establish that darkness, okay, light will be for God, are we together? The earth will be for people, men, are we together? Darkness will be for darkness will be for what? Will darkness describe the earth? Will darkness describe people? Think about it this way. If you've agreed that earth is about people, and we say darkness on the earth, it means that the darkness on the earth will refer to people. Because you cannot be saying the earth is about people, but darkness is about states. It doesn't conjoin. Are we together? You cannot say the earth is about people and darkness is about the state of things or the state of light generally. So we see God, we see His Spirit. Are we together? We see light. So fundamentally, we see God, we see the Spirit, we see light. Are we here? We now see secondly, we have heaven, we have earth, we have darkness. Are we together? We have face of the deep and we have the what? The face of the water. Now we established how the earth is used for people. Now if the earth is used for people, what will water be used for? If the earth is used for people, look at it again. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So darkness upon the face of the deep, is that describing the earth? Beautiful. So darkness upon the face of the deep is describing the earth. So face of the deep is about the earth. So what will face of the waters be? It has to be the earth. Are we together? Yeah, so we'll do a study. I think we've done actually a brief study on that. Water as used for nations. Are we together? So, the Bible now tells you in chapter 3, let there be what? Light. And there was what? Light. Can you see that in your Bible? God said, let there be what? Light. And there was what? Light. So hold your hands in Genesis 1 and go with me to 2 Corinthians 4. Quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Quickly. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6, or verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Are you there? Are you sure? So look at what it says. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Are you here? In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the what? Glorious gospel of Christ, who is the what? Image of God, should shine upon them. Hold on. So if you were to read Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, you must have read Genesis. Hold on. Look at verse 6 again. God who commanded light to shine what? Out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Are we together? God commanded light to shine out of darkness. He has shined in our hearts to give the light. So the shining of God's light into the hearts of man is to give or supply the what? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Are we together? So when you go back to Genesis 1 and it says, let there be light. What are you seeing? Let there be the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Hold on, okay? Let there be light, right? Let there be light. What would the light be? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Again, one more time. Let there be light. What's the light? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So Jesus will be that that revelation of light. So when we say let there be light, and we say the light is a knowledge, can we say that light has to do with illumination? Can we say it has to do with revelation? So it means the light that shines out of darkness is the light of revelation. Are we together? The light that shines out of darkness is the light that illuminates. What does it illuminate? The darkness in the hearts of men. Are we together? So, let me ask you a question. As we are teaching now, light is shining on your heart, right? Am I with a torch? Am I with a torch? Is this what is shining on your heart, the bulb? No. So, what is shining on your heart? When I say light is shining on your heart, it means there is revelation presented to you. It means there's illumination presented to you. So when it says, God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, right, to give the light, which is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, right? So the light has to do with the knowledge of glory. Glory of what? Glory of God. In the person of who? Jesus. Are we together? So can we say light is revelation? So can we say light is illumination? So let there be light. Paul is telling you what happened in Genesis 1, verse 3. So the light is revelation. Are we here? The light is illumination. Go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 3. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Are you there? Are you there? Now, what does it say? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay, hold on. What did Paul call the light? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So can we replace that phrase with light in Genesis 1:3? So let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And God said, let there be the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Did you get that? So, when he now says, and there was light, what does that mean? And there was the light of the knowledge of God, or knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Hold on. God said, let there be light. Right? What did Paul tell you? The light is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So, and there was light. What is the light? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Now, look at what happens in verse 4. Go with me to verse 4. And God saw the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Are you here? Yes, beautiful. And God divided the light of the knowledge of God in the of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus altogether from what? darkness. Now remember, and 2 Corinthians 2 tells you what? For God who commanded light to shine has shone in the hearts of men. Are you following? Now, he says, and God called, look at verse 5, are you there? Are you in verse 5? And God what? Called the light day. You know, I've said something before. Adam did not speak Hebrew. No, now look at it now. What is Hebrew? Hebrew is a Jewish language. Where did the Jewish nation come from? Abraham. So Abraham, Hebrew is an Abrahamic lineage language. So before Abraham, there was no... Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are we together? So it means that Moses will use the knowledge of Hebrew to write Genesis 1 that wasn't in Hebrew. Or people, or the beginning that wasn't in Hebrew. Please follow what I'm saying tonight. Okay? So we are now seeing Genesis 1 written in Hebrew. So that's why you hear me say the Hebrew word for Genesis 1. We'll say the word God created, the word bara. We'll look at that shortly. We'll say the word heaven. We'll say the word... Remember we did a teaching on Bereshit? Reshit. Remember that teaching? Yeah, the firstborn, the first fruits, and all of that. Now, look. So what it now says, and God called the light day. Listen to what it says next. And the darkness he called what? Night. See what it says again. And the evening and the morning were the what? First day. Now, what did Jesus say about Moses? John 5:39. He says, you search the scriptures, for you then you think you have life, but they are they which what? Testify of me. 45, he says, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. In other words, if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So it means that when you read Moses writing Genesis chapter 1, your attention should not go to day, night, light, darkness, as it will go in a literal form. Did you get that? Why? Because Jesus already told you that Moses, remember, I will open my mouth with what? And what? And utter dark sayings of old. Altogether, I will speak in parables, uttering dark sayings of old. So, the dark sayings of old, are they in Genesis? So, what we are reading in Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, Genesis chapter 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, are those dark sayings of old? Lovely. So, we need to interpret those dark sayings of old. Are you here? Now, let's do a quick study. Now, verse 5 says, and God called. Now, the word there called is the Hebrew word quara. Q-A-R-A. Please, don't forget this in this series. The word there called is the Hebrew word quara, 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 whatever you want to call it. Q-A-R-A, you have the spelling. Let me help you understand the word quara. Now, you give a space on your notes. I'm taking you to where you understand quara better. Look at Genesis 2, the next chapter. Look at Genesis 2, verse, look at verse 19. Are you there? Are you there? Genesis 2, verse what? Now look at what it says. And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field, follow, and every fowl of the air, follow, and brought them unto what? Are you there? To see what he would what? Call them. Now look how it says. And whatsoever Adam called every living thing, that was the what? Name thereof. Let's read verse 20 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And Adam gave names to the all cattle, rather, and to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmate for him. Now, if you look at verse 19 very well, look at the last line there. Whatsoever Adam what? Called. What was the word there called? Kara. Whatsoever Adam called, what did he say? He says, every living thing, that was their name thereof. Remember where I'm explaining Genesis 1:5. Look at Genesis 3:20. Are you there? Genesis 3:20 is the next chapter, right? What does it say? And Adam called his wife's name what? Eve. Look at the reason. Because she was the mother of all living. So Adam called Eve because of something. Are we together? So Adam called Eve because of a purpose. Because of a reason. Are we here? Genesis 3:20. Because of a function. What is the function of Eve? Mother of all living. So can you see? So let's go back to Genesis 1. So we're going backwards. So we're in Genesis 3 to explain called because she is the mother of healing. Remember, living. He quarreled her Eve because she is the what? The mother of all living. So he called Eve Eve because of the function of Eve. Are we here? So it means that in the real sense, when you see Adam calling animals or every creature, giving them names, he will give them names because of function. If he will give Eve, mother of all living, and call that Eve because she is the... Is in your Bible, it says because. Altogether, because she is the mother of all living. So if you will give Eve because she's the mother of all living, it means that when you go back to Genesis 2, when you see Adam calling animals or giving animals name, it will be based on the function of the animals. And not just, listen to what I'm about to say, and not just merely calling animals lions, tigers, snake. How do you know that? The first mention of the animal that Adam gave name to, it was a function that he performed. What's the first animal? Snake now. Serpent now. Abi. And he says, as corny. Are we together? So serpent was corny. Is that the function of serpent? Are we together? So it means that when you consistently start seeing animals, you will see animals first as functions in the Bible. That's why you see Matthew 16. It tells you what? I send you forth as sheep. Are you a sheep? No. You are human with head, with hand, with leg. In the midst of wolves. Did he say you with your head and hand in the midst of physical wolves? So wolves will be what? Humans. Are you here again? Right? Be therefore as what? Harmless as dove. You are not a sheep. You are not a dove. So it is as sheep, as dove. Are we together? Be therefore as harmless as dove. So I send you forth as sheep to be harmless as dove in the midst of wolves who are as what? Wise as what? Serpents. So can you see animals? Four animals. All functions. None of them have to do with an animal. So it means that in Bible language, you will first understand the names of animals functionally before literally. Because what you call the lion you see in the zoo today is not what Adam called it. Are you here? Are you here? Hope you are following me. What you call the snake today, lizard, is not what Adam called it. So, Adam quarreled in Genesis 3:20, are we together? And we said he gave Eve because she's the mother of the living. You now go back to animals, giving animals based on their function. Are we together? So it means that when we go back to Genesis chapter 1 and he called light day, will it be when it is bright, it is day? Let's go back again to Genesis 3. He calls Eve Eve because she's the mother of all living. That's a function of Eve. Altogether, we go to animals and he names animals based on their function. And that's why you see the first mention are serpents. And you see deception. Altogether. So it means when you go back to Genesis chapter 1, the same word kara, when he says kara, it means that he will not be saying light as per brightness, let it be day. But he was talking about light as a function being called day. Altogether. Then now called morning. Are you here? So morning and day will be functions of light. Light will be function of morning and day. Are you following? Don't lose me here. What I'm going to say today. You know, I've been giving you Matthew 28. You know, say I not start from there today. We are doing a very solid foundation for our seminar this weekend. Are we together? So we are going to understand that kara is a word that is used to describe functions and purpose. That's important to write in your notes. Kara is used to describe functions and purpose. Kara is used to describe function and purpose. Kara is used to describe function and purpose. So it means when you now see that his name shall be wonderful, we will not look at wonderful as a spelling of wonderful, but as a function. We will not see the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, as mere words, but as functions. Did you get that? Yeah. So go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1, right? Now, listen carefully to verse 4 before you go back to verse 5. He says, and God saw the light, that it was what? Good. Right? It was what? Are you here? God saw the light, and it was good. And God what? Divided the light from the darkness. Let me now ask you a question. If light is based on function, darkness will be based on what? Function. So, if light is function, darkness is function, is God's action present? If light, you describe light as day, call the light day, altogether, right? And he said that God separated the light from darkness. Light will be based on function. Did you get that? Darkness will be based on what? Function. Are we together? So, when you say God divided the light from the day, is God outrightly active? The gospel is that Christ died for sins, right? And any man who believes that is saved. I say it to two of them. He believes based on his function, he is what? Saved. And that's what you call what? Light. Which is what? Day. And what? Morning. He doesn't believe. What do you call him? Don't say it, but you should know what you call him. Now, together. Right? Based on their actions. Okay, so let's step it down a little. Right? Actions. Yeah, so function is ambiguous. Yeah? Function, action. Same WhatsApp group. Right? So based on their action, based on their function. So let there be the light of the knowledge is presented to two of them. But based on their actions, they are now classified as light and day. Light and darkness, which is day and night, which is morning and evening. Exactly. Did you get that? The light of the light, remember we started from 2 Corinthians 4. Light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So let there be light is the message. One of them accepts the message. By that is what? Light, day, morning. The other one rejects as a function of his rejection, altogether, not believing. What do you call him? Darkness, night, and what? Evening. Are you here? Are you here? Beautiful. Lovely. So, let's look at the word divided. Look at that word again, divided. Look at that word divided. Now, and God divided. The word they divided is the Hebrew word badal. B-A-D-A-L. Badal. B-A-D-A-L. Divided is the word badal. Let me show you how that word is used by Moses. It will make you understand, help you understand a few things. Now, the word badal is a word that is used or that means separate. Altogether. It's what that means to separate. I'll give you other words for it. To separate, to set apart, to separate, to set apart, to make a distinction, to differentiate. I'll say it again. To separate, I hope you're writing. To separate, to set apart, to make a distinction, or to differentiate. Are you here? I'll say it again. The word, what's the word divided? Badal, and it's a word that means to what? Separate. It's a word that means to what? Set apart. Another word is what? To make a distinction. Another word is to what? So, let's replace divided with separated. So, can we say, and God saw the light, and it was good, and God separated the light from darkness. Did you get that? Did you get that? Let me show you how Moses uses that word. Look at the book of Exodus. Exodus 26. We're coming back to Genesis quickly. Exodus 26, verse 3. Exodus chapter 26, verse 3. Did I say verse 3? 33. Exodus chapter 26, verse 33. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the taches, that thou mayest bring in thither without the veil the ark of the what? Testimony. And the what? The veil. Are you there? The veil shall what? Badal unto you between the holy place and the what? What is badal? Set apart, separate, distinguish. Are we together? Differentiate. Did you get that? Look, so who wrote Exodus? Look at Moses again. Look at Moses in Leviticus 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Look at Leviticus 11. That's all I know about that song. Let's look at it. I just went into the word. No, that's all I know. Now look at Leviticus 11, 47. He says, to make a difference between the unclean. That word there, difference, is the Hebrew word badal. Did you get that? Yeah, look at Leviticus 11, 47. To make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. So different. So God differentiated light from darkness. Or God caused a difference to be between what? Light and darkness. Look at Leviticus 20. Look at 20. Leviticus 20, verse 24. Leviticus 20, verse 24. Are you there? Are you there? But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that what? Floweth with what? Milk and honey. Now, I am the Lord your God, which has separated you from other people. Did you say that in your Bible? I am the Lord your God, which has what? Badaled. Is that correct? Is that correct? Is that correct? How will you read it from Genesis 1 verse 4? Divided. You see that? So I am the Lord your God, which has divided you, that is separated you altogether, that is set you apart, that is differentiated you altogether from what? Other people. Ye shall therefore put difference between the clean and the unclean. So look at the last line, which I have separated from you as unclean. So can you see the use of the word separated, badal, divided, right? A distinction. So go back to Genesis 1:4. Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from what? Light from what now? So divided light from darkness, is that separated? Is that set apart? So what does that mean now? Genesis chapter 1, is that a redemption story? In the beginning was, God created heaven and earth. Is that a redemption story? God said, let it be light. Is that a redemption story? So what do you see after God said, let there be light, and God divided light from darkness? Is that a redemption story? So it means that in redemption story, there's a division. Do you get that? It means that in redemption story, there's a separation. It means that in redemption story, there's a what? Set apart. And there's a what? Differentiation. That's what Peter now tells you. For ye are a what? A peculiar, a chosen what? Is that set apart? Is that set apart? A holy what? The word there, holy, is what? Set apart. Are we together? A what? Peculiar people. And what again? A chosen generation. Royal priesthood. Are we together? So it means that in God's redemption, there is a plan to divide people. Are we together? Are we together? So look at verse 5. And God called the light day, and darkness he called night. Is that a division of people? Is that a division of people? So there are people who will be called morning, and people who will be called what? Evening. Are we together? Are we here? Look at verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of what? In the water. What is the use of firmament? Divide water from waters. Are we together? Waters from waters, is that a division of people? Yes, so day and night is equal to morning and evening, is equal to light and darkness, equal to waters and waters. Did you get that? Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? When you now see verse 7, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above. Is that people? Would that be people? Look at verse 8. And God called the firmament above. Is that people? Is that people? And the evening and the morning was the what? Second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place and dry land. Is that people? And God called the dry land what? Earth, without form and void. But let's go back to Genesis 1:4. So God divided the light from what? Darkness. So it means that in the redemption plan of God, there is a division. There's a separation. There's a called up. There's a called out people. There's a set apart people. There's a differentiation. So God sets apart light from darkness. Are we together? Are we together? God separates light from darkness. So it means that light will have a function and darkness will have a function. Those who are under the light, there's a function, there's an action they did, for instance, which is what? To believe the redemption story, the redemption plan. Remember, never forget, if you had believed Moses, you would have what? Believe me, for he wrote. What are we dealing with? The name. So we're trying to examine how names start up first, before we get to the name of Jesus. Are we together? So it means that when you are looking at scriptures, names will first deal with what? Functions. Names will first deal with functions. Don't forget, we have used the first two teachings of this series to show us the similarities between Mark 16. Remember? Matthew 28. Remember now. John 20. And what? Luke 24. What is the similarity in all their summaries of 40 days teaching? The name. Are we together? Luke 24 will tell you that what? That in his name, repentance and remission of sin should be what? Preached. Right? So John 20 will tell you that, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that ye might have life through his name. Altogether, teaching them to observe what is I've commanded. Go into the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Altogether, there was the last one, Mark. In my name they shall what? Cast out. They shall speak with new tongues. So the conclusion of name from those writings will come from the understanding of the writings of the prophets and Moses, because that is where Jesus taught from before they came to that conclusion. Remember, his dida. Is didache. Altogether, what is didache? His mode of teaching. And his mode of teaching entails going back to the beginning. Are you here, Avigono? Are you here? Now, let's look at Exodus 3. Let me show you something very interesting again that will be a foundation for what we are studying in the name of Jesus. Look at Exodus 3. Exodus chapter 3. Please don't sleep. If you are sleeping now, you are free to sleep in the name of the Lord. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Exodus chapter 3. Are you there? Are you there? And God said unto who? Are we here? Let's read 14 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. You know, if you read that from the blues, you might not get a picture of what's happening. But let's read in context. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto who? Pharaoh. Please don't lose track. Oh, please, I beg you. And I will send thee unto who? Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of what? Egypt. So Moses had an assignment to bring people out of Egypt. Look at verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? That's a normal question now. Who am I? Are we together? Who is my father? You know that question now? Yeah? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. Take note of that. Please read your Bibles. Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have what? So what is the assurance that God gave Moses that he sent him? I will be with you. Are we together? You know, that is all the believer has today, to obey the sending of God. Did you get that? Not necessarily the signs. What you have today, going into the world and teach all nations, by the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, getting into the world, and lo, I am with what? You, always to the end of the age. So, God now tells Moses, what should keep you going? It's not necessarily what you see or what you don't see, but the fact that I will be with thee. Now, look how he now says next. He now says what? When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon where? This mountain. Let's read verse 13 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? So, Moses technically, fundamentally, is dealing with stubborn people. It takes a level of assurance of the stubbornness of your folks to know that they will have such a question. Look at it though. He said, I will tell them the Lord God of their father. That is not enough for them. They will still ask, what is his name? Are we here? What is his name? Now, what did God say? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Now, let's do a quick study or an introduction to a study on Exodus 3:14. What did I call it? Intro what? Doctrine. Now, look at that word there in Exodus 3:14. I am that I am. The word there, I am, is the Hebrew word ayal. Ayal, rather. H-A-Y-A-H. H-A-Y-A-H. I am, which is ayal. Ayal. In the beginning. Go back to Genesis 1. You said it now. In the beginning, the writings of Moses. That's beautiful. Stay there. Now, if we check Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, are you there? Or verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Listen, everyone. The phrase, let there be, is a singular Hebrew word, ayah. Are you there? The phrase, let there be, is equal to that Hebrew word we said is I am. Are we here? Which is ayah. Are we together? So, can we say, and God saw, no, verse 3, and God said, ayah light. And there was light. I didn't say the word light, there is ayah. Let there be is ayah, which is what you call I am. Are we here? Let there be, is that an action? So if let there be is an action, which is I am, it means that I am will be an action. But I am in your mind is now. Abi, I am a boy. What is the verb there? Did you get that? Please follow. You know, I told, let me say it again. We didn't start from Matthew 28 today. There's a reason. I am. Are we together? Let there be, you've agreed, is now. You know, we have a verb, brother. You know, you have what you call auxiliary verbs, main verbs. That's okay. You're all right. Yeah? But I am, that I am, is just a noun, it's a name. But it is ayah in Hebrew, so to say. Now, so it means that the name I am will be a noun that has a function of a verb. Okay, so in case you want to replace let there be with I am, what will you see in Genesis 1:3? And God said, I am light. Did you get that? But what do you see it as? Let there be, an action. Are we together? Are we together? So it means that we can replace let there be with what? I am light. So let there be is a verb, yet a proper name. What is the proper name of let there be? I am, which is what? Noun. Which is I am. Are we together? I know you cannot forget the I am. You can't forget it. Right? So, I am is I am, which is let there be. So, it means that what? There's an action word that derives the name or that gives meaning to the name as a noun. Are you here? Are you here? So, I am is a noun. Is that right? Is that a name of a person? Whose name is that? God. Are we together? Is that a name of a person as a result of a verb of the person? Are you here? Are you confused? You can't be, oh, with the way I'm sweating like this. You can't be. Hazy is not touching me here. Mosquito is biting me here. Fan is blowing all over you. You're sitting down. You can't be confused. Even though we've prayed in the beginning, no confusion here. But this word I'm sweating now. Don't come because it's been the name of you can't be confused, please. Right? So, I am is God's name as a result of an action. So, it means that when God will tell Moses, I am, Moses will see the name I am from a perspective of an action. Are you here? Are you here? So, I am that I am. What you can say God is saying is, this is my name as a result of my action. Is that clear? This is my name because of my action. So, what is the action that gives the name? That's what we're investigating. Abi? Is that not it? What is now that action that gives the name? Praise Jesus. Genesis 3. Genesis 3, are you there? Look at 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise. Is that an action? Is that an action? Is that an action in the redemption? Is that an action in the redemption? Look at it again. It says, I will put enmity between the woman, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt what? Bruise the heel. So is that an action? So is that a promise? Is that a promise? Hold on, saint. Is that a promise? I will. Future is a promise. Is that a promise that requires an action? Yes, now. I will go home this evening after church. Is that a promise? Is there not a verb that will back it up? What is the verb? You going. So I will put enmity between thy seed. So it means there's a promise of the seed that will require an action. All together. You know, we've done this study before, but let me just show you quickly. Look at Genesis 12 again. Genesis 12, 7. Let's just read that quickly. Genesis 12, 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham. Please read your Bibles and follow as we are reading, okay? Yeah, so you understand better. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Is that a promise? Is that a promise? Unto thy seed will I give this land. So what is the promise to Abraham? The land to the seed. So when will you know the promise has, listen to me carefully, saints. When will you know the promise has been fulfilled? When the land is given by or to the seed. Genesis 3, did he mention land? Genesis 3:15, did he mention land? But he mentioned seed. So the promise to the seed in Genesis 3, is that the same promise to the seed in Genesis 1? Genesis 12? But this promise now has an inclusion of what? Land. Are you following? Look at Genesis 13, 15. Genesis 13, 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to... You are not checking your Bibles. Don't lose out here this evening, saints. Look at Genesis 13, verse 15. Are you there? Look at it. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For all the... 1, 2, 3, everybody together. 1, 2, 3, go. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. So, we first see seed with our land. Are you together? Genesis 12, we now see seed with what? Land. Genesis 13, we now see what? Seed with land with forever. Did you observe that? Did you observe that? So it means that all the seeds backwards will not have to do with a physical man who cannot supply something forever or hold on to something forever. So if it has to do with forever, it's only God that does forever. All together. All together. So the promise of the seed, we will have to produce an action. There will be an action that will follow it, and it's only God that will be the seed and will be the land. We'll get there. Are you there? Look at Genesis 15, 5. So, and he brought him forth a brother and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, and if thou be able to number them, he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. Look at verse 6 together. Genesis 15, 6. 1, 2, 3, go. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for what? Right? So the promise of the seed will supply what? Righteousness. All together. All together. So God's name, I am, is found based on the function, which is the action he will do. So can we say God's promise and God's name, they are interchangeable? Are we here? God's name, so let me take a step further. God's name, God's promise, and God's action, they're interchangeable. Because his name, as in now, I am, is gotten from the verb, I am, based on what? Function. Are you following? Beautiful. Right? So go back to Genesis, Exodus 3. Exodus 3. Let me try round up. Okay? Exodus 3. So, Exodus chapter 3. And God said unto Moses, I am. I am is the name that is in now that is gotten based on an action that will be done. So, remember we said the name of God, the promise of God, the action of God, they are interchangeable. Remember that? Do you agree with that? Do you understand that? Right? So, if I say, Brandon So will drive Brother Sukomi home. Right? That's the future tense. Can we say, Brother Sukomi, I promise you that Brandon So will take you home. Is that a promise? Yeah. Brother Sukomi, I promise you that he will drive you home. Is that a promise? When Brandon So now fulfills that promise, he will fulfill that promise by an action. So, when he fulfills the promise by driving him home, can I call him driver? Can I call him driver? So, that means I can interchange Brananso with the brother who drove Brasukomi and with driver, which is the person which I said will drive Brasukomi. So, the promise, the name, the action, all interchangeable. They are all one and the same. That's what I'm trying to examine. Is that a word? Hey, Jesus is Lord. I was trying to say investigate, and exam came to my mind, so examinate. He just flowed. Praise Jesus. Right? So, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Now, let's look at something carefully. Look at how he ends verse 14. He says, I am, rather, hath sent me unto you. Listen to that again. I am, hath sent me unto you. Go back to verse 13. Please, see what I'm about to show you. Verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, I shall say unto them, the God of your father has sent me unto you. See, the phrase, the God of your father has sent me unto you, is that this phrase, I am? substituted in verse 14. Look at the last line of verse 14. What does it say? I am has sent me unto you. Look at verse 13. The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. So what replaced the God of your fathers in verse 14? I am. So the God of your fathers, from what perspective would they see the God of their fathers? Can we say the God of promise? You know, when you tell a Jewish man, an Israelite like that, the God of your fathers, what comes to your mind? What comes to their mind? The God of Abraham, Isaac. So when you say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, can we summarize it to the God of the fathers? So can we say the God of the God that made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? All together. So the Lord of the fathers is equal to the Lord of God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, which is the God of promise. So see what he does in verse 14. No, he now replaced the God of your fathers, which is equal to the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, which is equal to the God of promise, which is equal to I am. Are those promises? Is I am now his name? So it means that the I am being his name, remember, is derived from a verb that will be done. So it means that the promise to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob is the I am that will keep it. You get it? Yes. So he will be the I am that will keep the promise to Abraham, that same promise that was to Isaac, that same promise that was to Jacob. So I am is his name. So when you say, who is the God of the father? Who is the God of the fathers? I am. Why do we call him I am? Because he is a promise keeper. So he is the God of the fathers, that is the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, all equal to God of the fathers, which is the God of the promise of the fathers, which is I am, which is a now derived from a verb that will be done. So he is the promise giver and is the promise fulfiller. Did you get that? He is the promise giver and is the promise fulfiller. So the God of your fathers hath sent me, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? So you can supposedly want to see Moses trying to give a summary name for the phrase, the Lord of your fathers. Did you observe that? Look at it now. He says, look at verse 13. He says, and when I go to the children of Israel, I shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said, I am. So I am now replaces the God of your fathers. So the name of that God of your fathers is equal to I am. And the I am is a now gotten from Aya, which has to derive from a verb, an action, a function. Are you here? So the God of your fathers will refer to the promise to Abraham. We said that. Promise to Isaac. All together. So to Abraham is a promise. A promise ought to be fulfilled. So what is the name of the God that promised Abraham? I am. Are we together? What is the name of the God that promised Isaac? What's the name of the God that promised Jacob? I am. But Isaac, Abraham, Jacob did not know that God as I am. Why? Because Moses is now dealing with a people, children of Israel, and is relating to them based on a function. Don't forget where we started reading from. What was Moses' purpose? To take them out of Egypt. Is that an action? So can you start saying, I am the one who will take you out of Egypt? Are you seeing it? So if let me take a step ahead of this week. So if I tell you his name is I am, what will you refer to him? English, let's do English. It's not theology now. It's not TODC right now. Yeah. So if I tell you his name is I am, what will you say about him? He is. So he is the one that will do something. What is that which he will do? Fulfill the promise. What is the promise? We're trying to investigate. Never forget, the promise fundamentally is about the seed, Genesis 3. about the seed with the land, Genesis 12. Then the seed with the what? Land and forever, Genesis 13. Then Genesis 15. Are we together? So the same promise of the seed is the same promise of the land to Abraham, and you must see it consistently with who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are we together? Are you here this evening? So, it means that I am, which will be a promise, at that time, would that promise be fulfilled? So, at that time, can we say his full name is I am, who will do? All together. I am, who will do. What is that which he will do? Don't talk about the spirit. Don't go to Galatians. What is that which he will do? Fulfill the promise. Who said that? That's it. Fulfill the promise of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So, I am will be, I made the promise, I am fulfilling it, I will fulfill it. Why is it that way? Because the word I am, let there be, which is a verb, is what gives life as a function to the name as a noun. Did you get that? The name as a noun is gotten or derived by an action or a function or a verb. All together. So the God of the fathers will, it will mean that I am will carry his name, that is his promise, and that is his function. What will his function now be? Fulfillment of the promise. Are we here? Beautiful. So let me now show you something again. Exodus 6. Go to 3 chapters. Look at Exodus 6. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Let's read this quickly, okay? Exodus 6, 1 to 4. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Then the Lord said unto Moses, are you there? Now shalt thou see what I will do. Are we together? For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. Look at verse 2. And God spake unto Moses. Please, I want to show you something here. God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am what? I am the Lord. A name gotten based on an action that will be done. Are we here? Now, please, don't lose what I'm about to show you. Look at verse 3. Exodus 6, 3. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of what? God Almighty. So, what will Abraham know I am as? God Almighty. Remember, names are first what? Functional. So it means that when Abraham understands God as the Almighty, it will be based on an action or a function. Are we here? He says, but by my name, Jehovah, was I not known unto them. Now look at verse 4, 1, 2, 3, go. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were what? So there's a land of Canaan that is to be given. Do you see that? He says, I have established my covenant with them that there's a land that will be given to them. Is that the God of the fathers? Yes, to Abraham. So what was Abraham expecting when he knew, or what do you think we done on Abraham when he sees God as Almighty? A land. Let's quickly see it before we close. Look at Genesis. Genesis 17. We'll just see Abraham and Jacob. Genesis 17 quickly. Genesis 17, verse 1. Let's just quickly read Genesis 17:1. I'll just go ahead and read. Just join me where you are. Verse 1, Genesis 17:1. And when Abraham was 90 years old, and 9, that's 99, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am what? I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee what? Exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of what? Many nations. Beautiful. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be what? Abraham. Right? For a father of many nations have I made thee. Look at verse 6. And I will make thee what? Are you there? Are you there? Exodus 17, 16. And I will make thee what? Exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee. And kings shall come out of what? Thee. Now 7. And I will establish a covenant between me and thee. And thy what? After thee in thy what? For an everlasting covenant. To be a God unto thee. And thy seed after. Now let's read verse 8 together. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art strangers, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, I will be their God. So, Abraham knows God as Almighty because of the promise of the land. Altogether. You see, that word there, Almighty, is where you call the, is from the Hebrew word Shaddai. You know that word Shaddai? Shaddai, S-H-A-D-D-A-Y. Please write that in your notes. Shaddai. You know, we have lots of scholars with lots of definitions over there. You know, Almighty means many-breasted. Some will say many-breasted, the one who gives sufficiency and everything, you know. But I want us to look at the name Shaddai from the function of what is promised, which is what? Land. Okay, hold on. In case you want to get it clear, look at Genesis 48. Genesis 48, 3. This is, you know, I would have taken you to Isaac, but I said, let's see Abraham and Jacob. So look at Genesis 48, 3. Genesis chapter 48, verse 3. Is this sweat? Genesis 48, 3. Are you there? And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and what? Blessed me. Look at verse 4. 1, 2, 3, go. And said unto me, behold, is that the same promise to Abraham? I will make thee what? Fruitful. Is that the same? Multiply thee. Is that the same? Look at the word it says. And I will what? Make of thee a multitude of people. And what? I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Altogether. So the word Shaddai will deal with a land, a field, a wide, sufficient land. Altogether. Don't forget, the promise to Abraham is the promise to Isaac, which is the promise to Jacob. And all, what is the promise about? Land. Altogether. In the real sense, what is the promise about? God is giving himself. So it means that God is the land that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Did you hear what I said? What did God promise? Or what is God's promise to mankind? He will give himself to man. Are we together? So, the promise... why is he talking with land? You cannot use laptop to explain something to an agrarian who knows only trees and fruits and land and crop and trees. So, it's not far-fetched for the promise to Abraham to deal with land because Abraham was an agriculturalist and agrarian. Consistently with Isaac, then with who? Jacob. So, when Abraham will have land, you will see the promise of God to Abraham, I will give you a land. A land. In the real sense, God is the land. So, God will give himself as the land. Are we together? A white land. Is that true? A sufficient land, a land that is flowing with what? Milk and honey. So who is the milk in the land? It's God, though. Who is the honey in the land, though? It's God, though. Who is the bread in the land, though? It's God, though. Who is the water in the land, though? It's God, though. Who is the what again? Blood in the land, though? It's God, though. Who again? Are you following? So the promise to Abraham is the promise of a land. As an agrarian, Abraham should, or God is using that. Remember now, I said something. God communicates to man in human language. You see, God will use the culture of man to communicate what he ought to communicate. Because he is that good. Do you understand? That is why when God now wants to speak through us, for instance, today, I want to give tongues and interpretation. It's wise for you to use the language of today to explain something to somebody. Are we together? Praise God. Are you following? Remember, I'm closing. So, God will promise Abraham, promise Isaac, promise Jacob the land. The land will speak about himself.
Now, that promise to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, is that the same promise to Israel? So it means that, hello? Now, did the Israelites get to a land called Canaan? In that land, was there a promise of a land? Yes, sir. So it means that the promise of a land to the Israelites is not in the Middle East. Are we together? So if you want to go to Israel, that's fine. If you have the money. Yeah. So the promise of the land to the Israelites is not ill. So that is why, yeah, listen to me carefully. That means when they got to Canaan, a Bible student will still find out that that is not the land God promised. So the land God promised that will flow with milk and honey is not Canaan in Middle East, but is what? God the Shaddai, God Almighty, he will give himself as the land. I'll close here. Go back to Exodus 3. So can we describe God as a land? Can we describe God as a land? Beautiful, right? So God is that land that was promised to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to the children of what? Israel. Look at Exodus 3 again. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt? Are you here? Look at verse 12. And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. He says, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon what? This mountain. Let's read verse 13 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of the fathers has sent me unto you. Watch. Now, can we say, when he says the God of the father, can we put into bracket God of Abraham? Yes. God of Isaac? God of Jacob? Can we close the bracket? Can we put another bracket and say God Almighty? Are we together? Can we now close the bracket and open another bracket and say God the promise keeper? Or God the promise giver fundamentally, first? Yeah, God, the promise giver to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, which is the God of the Father. So he says, the God of the Father has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now let's read verse 15 together as we close. And God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt I say unto the what? No, of Israel, the Lord of your fathers. Can you now see the next line? The God of what? So can you see the explanation of God of fathers? God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. So did you see what we're trying to replace? You see it in the next verse. So from verse 14, you see God of fathers, who is called I am in verse 14, which is called God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in verse what? 15. What is the next phrase that follows it? Sent me. Is that not it? Sent me unto what? Look what it now says. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto what? Unto what? All generations. Let me end with this phrase. So if God's name is I am, and God says that will be his name unto all generations, it means that the phrase I am will be in the present continuous. I am that I am. Let's bow our heads and pray while we close for this evening.